this is Steve. This podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. All of us want to hear from God. We all long to hear the voice of God to give us guidance and direction, to tell us what's best in our lives. But all of us have things that keep us from being able to hear God's voice. In today's message, I give you a three-question quiz to do a self-assessment of what it is that keeps you from being able to hear the voice of God. Today we're in the second part of this message series called Whisper, where we're learning to listen to the whisper of God. And I hope that today you are ready to take notes, to lean in, and to listen. Don't you want God to speak into your life? Don't you want to be able to hear His voice? Last week we started this whole thing, and we started talking about the description of Jesus, the way He describes His sheep. He says this about His sheep. He says, "My sheep listen." Right? "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen." And I ask the question, is that a good description of us? Are we very good at listening to the voice of Jesus? And so we talked about all the things that keep us from listening and all the things that we kind of do to keep from listening. And I challenged us as a group, I challenged us to pray this listening prayer, this powerful prayer during this series, this prayer that I think could change your life. It's Samuel's prayer. And here it is. Samuel prays, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Man, isn't that the prayer that we ought to pray? I mean, we talked last week about how we just show up and we kind of verbally vomit all over God. We just kind of dump all of our everything. We just talk and talk and talk and talk. And we don't give Him a chance to get a word in edgewise. But if we just prayed, "Speak, your servant is listening," how would that change our prayer life? How would it change our ability to hear from God? How would it change the way God speaks into our lives? And how would it change the way we live? So this series is talking about listening to the whisper of God. Not just hearing, but listening. See, I think this is our key problem, is I think that we're really good at hearing. We're good at hearing. We all hear the voice of God. I mean, you even bother to come here on a Sunday morning so that you can hear the word of God proclaimed, right? I mean, you're willing to give an hour on Sunday mornings when you could be, you know, sleeping in, you could be getting a McGriddle for breakfast, you could be doing one of 100 other things this morning, could be going to the Apple Festival, you could do a bunch of other stuff. Did I hear a groan in the front row for Apple Festival? There's 1,000 things you could be doing right now, but you've chosen to give this hour to hearing the voice of God. Our problem is that we can hear Him, but our problem is that there's another 167 hours between the next time we'll give Him an hour. Right? We got 167 other hours this week where we listen to everything else. And the voice of God is just one among hundreds, maybe among thousands of voices that are competing for our heads and our hearts. So we want to really lean in this series, and we want to learn how to hear from God. It's important for us to hear from God because God's goal in us hearing from Him is different than our goal in hearing from Him. We just want to hear from God. We just want Him to tell us what step to take next. We want to hear Him tell us what door to go through next. We want to hear Him give instructions for our life. We just want to get that, right? But God's goal isn't just simply to be heard. God's goal is intimacy with us. God chooses to whisper so that we'll, you know, lean in. Right, so that we'll get quiet and we'll put our ear right up to His face. You know, His goal is to draw us close to Him. That's God's whole purpose in whispering. But we don't really understand that very well in our culture today, in our society today, because here's the reality, and it's the first blank on your page. Intimacy isn't instant. Right? Intimacy is it's not a button you can push. You know, it's not something you can just achieve right away. Sometimes you gotta wait for something good. So some of us remember back in the day, I think probably all of us remember back in the day when the internet was dial-up. Remember that? Remember? If you live in certain parts of Coosawhatty, that's still your life today, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I heard it. I just heard it.
Right.
Yeah. There it is, right there. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Do you remember that? Okay, so you remembered when you wanted to get something online, you wanted to read a news article, or let's just pretend that you've got a relative that emailed you a picture of their family that you were eager to see. So you would have to go through this process where you turn your computer on and you get into whatever and you listen to the tones and you just wait. Just wait for all the beeping and buzzing for R2-D2 to talk to C-3PO, right? And you just listen to all of it. And finally, you know, it all works together and synchronizes and whatever it does. And then finally you hear that voice. You've got mail. Remember that? No. Yeah, yes, okay. And you go, I got mail. So then you click the mail thing and then you wait some more. You know, and it comes up and it shows you your mail, and there it is, the email, and it's got that picture, and so you click on the email, and you can see the picture, click here to download, so you click, and then you wait a little longer. And you remember how it goes, it puts that big white square on your screen, and then one little line of the picture comes in. Remember that? And then you wait, and oh look, there's another line, and you wait a little longer. And oh, look, I can see the tops of the heads right there on the third line, you know, and you wait and wait and wait, and you know, you have to wait for it. We don't understand this anymore. You know, now we want the high speed, the fiber optic, whatever it is, so that you click and it just pops right up. Now we want it to be instant. But sometimes good things actually do come to those who wait, right? But we don't understand this anymore. I mean, you and I have quickly forgotten. I mean, think back to even before the days of dial-up internet. I remember back, Mom and Dad, when we had, what, 4 channels. Does anybody remember 4 channels, maybe 3 channels? Remember that? Yeah, and for a while, we lived out in kind of a rural area. We lived up in North Carolina for a little while. And so we lived way out. So we had the big old antenna on the roof, you know. And so not the rat, now I'm not talking about the little rabbit ear, I'm talking about the big, you know, is like 8 feet long and all, you know. And so we were in a rural area, and so that what that meant for us is we got some channels from one town and some channels from another town. And so what you would do when you wanted to watch TV, you had to see what was on the 2 channels that your antenna could actually pick up at the moment. And then if you wanted to see what was on the other 2 channels, you had to turn the antenna to just the right position. So you would lose those 2 channels, but you'd pick up the other 2 channels, you know? And so then you could see what was on those. And what was always fun is if you would check those other 2 channels and realize, nah, if I'm gonna watch some, I'd rather watch what's on one of the first 2 channels. So you gotta turn the antenna back around and wait for it to happen, and then you watch those. And here's the thing, back in the day, you had to watch whatever was on one of those 4 channels. And not only did you only have 4 options, but you watched what they said you would watch at whatever time they said you would watch it. You didn't have a choice. It was just whatever those 4 channels were serving up at that moment. And if there's a show you really wanted to watch that week that you knew was on at whatever time, but you couldn't be home at that time, sorry, you just missed out. Right? That's just the way it worked. That's not like our life today, is it? Now, if you have cable or satellite, which a lot of us don't anymore, we had that for a while, but if you have cable or satellite, you got hundreds of options going on. And not only that, but a lot of us have cut the cord and we have the internet provided television, so you have TV and movies and it's all on demand. Now you don't have to watch anything on anybody else's schedule. Now you don't have to get to it. Now it comes to you whenever you want. Now you pick what you want to watch and when you want to watch it. And if I want to watch 12 episodes at one time, I will. Right? I mean, I will watch all night long if I want to. And if I don't want to watch that, I'll watch something else. It's just the way that it works now. We get what we want when we want it these days. But that's not the way a relationship with God works. It's countercultural. Intimacy isn't instant, and it's not on demand. It's something that is built over time. So I got so much feedback from last week's message about this that I kind of changed this week's message. So it's a little different than I was originally intended, and I hope you're taking notes, because today what I want to do is I want to give you a quiz. And I want to let you take a minute to do a self-assessment. We're talking about listening, and I want you to ask yourself the question, what is it that keeps me from listening? What is it that keeps me from creating and from building that intimacy with God? What is it that's the barrier in my life for intimacy with God, from not just hearing, but listening to His voice? So I'm going to give you three options, okay? So it's a three-question quiz, and basically here's what you're going to do. You're going to fill in these blanks, and then you can self-assess and figure out what it is, which kind of person of the three people I'll describe, which kind are you? So here we go. The first one, what keeps me from listening? First person is this. Number one, my life is too loud. My life is too loud. This is the person who can't hear God's voice because of all the other voices that are going on at any given time in their life. This is the kind of person that if I were to ask you, is God's voice the loudest voice in your life? Even though He speaks at a whisper, is God's voice the loudest voice in your life? You'd have to say, God's voice is just one of many voices in my life. I mean, He's 1 hour out of the 167 hours of my week, and that's about it. And God's voice carries no more weight and garners no more attention than any other voice in your life. Frankly, your boss's voice gets a lot more attention and a lot more time than God's voice. Frankly, your spouse's voice. Frankly, your kids' voices. And you wish those would just stop, right? Just stop for a minute. So all the other voices in your life are so loud all the time that they're drowning out the voice of God. And I just want to tell you, this is an enemy tactic. This is a tactic of the devil. You know, Satan's goal is not to get you to become a Satan worshiper. It's just to distract you. He just wants to distract you. He doesn't necessarily want you to come to Him. He just wants to drown out the voice of the Good Shepherd in your life so that you can't experience the abundance and the power that He wants you to experience. His goal is not to get you to become a Satan worshiper. His goal is just to steal glory from God. So distract you and keep you from hearing Him. Jesus tells a parable about this, and He talks about different kinds of people who hear the word of God, who have the opportunity to experience the whisper of God. He tells this parable of the sower and the soil with the seed, right? And He talks about the different kinds of listeners. And this kind, the person whose life is too loud, is described by Jesus as the soil with many thorns, right? He says this in Matthew 13. He says, some of the seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. God wants for your life to bloom with His goodness. But there's so many thorns, so many other things in life that it just drowns out, chokes out the whisper of God in your life. Jesus wraps up the parable by saying this. He says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. I'm going to say that again. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Right? Jesus, this is really important to Jesus. Jesus uses this phrase, or almost exactly this phrase, 6 times in the Gospels and 8 times in the book of Revelation. This is really important to Him. He wants us to know that we should have an ear to hear, and that we should not just hear, but we should listen and understand, that we should tune in and listen to understand. When my daughter was in middle school, she played soccer. Y'all have kids play sports? Anybody have kids that play sports? Yeah, so you know what I'm going to talk about here. I mean, you know how it's like. You go out there. We spent hours and hours on the soccer fields, you know, between practices and between games. We were just, it seemed like during that period of our lives, we were just always dragging lawn chairs to soccer fields and carrying bottles of water and watching Lauren run up and down on the soccer field. And all that time, you know, we loved going to her games and sometimes practices. We loved all that stuff. And during every game, you know how it goes. During every game, all of the parents for both teams are on one side of the field. And during the game, all the parents are doing what? They're cheering on their kid. They're yelling at their kid. They're giving instructions to their kid. They're hollering at their kids. All these parents are yelling while their girls are running up and down the field. So there's all these parents out there. And the whole time, my daughter is out running around the field, and she can hear all of these people screaming at all the people on the field. But I was talking to her about this week, and she was telling me that no matter where she was on the field and no matter how many people were yelling, she always, always, always could hear one voice above the rest of them, and it wasn't mine. See, I'm not a big yeller on the side of the field. I'm not really big at, you know, yelling. I mean, I'll scream and cheer when there's a goal made, but I'm not really one for yelling at the kid too much. I don't know why. But I'm married to someone who is. And she told me this week, she said, I could always hear Mom. Mom always, Sherry, always screamed the same thing. She always said the same thing. Get the ball, Lauren, get the ball. Didn't matter where she was or what was going on. The ball may have been out of bounds and they were taking a break, but get the ball, Lauren! Get the ball! That's the thing that Sherry would always yell at Lauren. Same thing every time. And Lauren told me that she could always hear her mom's voice. Does that mean that Sherry's voice was the loudest on that field? No. Dude, there were some dads there. I could tell you stories about loud dads. So I asked her, I was like, how did you always hear your mom's above everybody else's? She says, well, I just know my mom's voice. And I was able to really fixate on that. I was able to really tune into that. I was able to focus on my mom's voice. There's a scientific explanation for this. Audiologically, there's a thing that happens when sound waves crash into your ears. They flow into your ears, and they make their way through this crazy maze of turns and crooks and nooks and crannies and everything until they hit your eardrum. Your eardrum, which is comprised of three bones, right? The hammer, the stirrup, and the anvil. And so the waves make the hammer vibrate against the anvil, and it causes sound waves to be transferred into your nerve, which takes the sound from your inner ear into your brain, and it is then interpreted. So there's an interesting, I mean, you say you never see a miracle. Dude, every sound you hear is a miracle from God. So here it is, this thing is going on, and there's this weird thing that scientists have clued into, and it's that your eardrum is not actually on, like, the back wall of your ear where you would expect it to be. Your ear, the shape of your ear, acts as a funnel. It draws the sound in, and then it makes it go through your ear, and the eardrum is kind of sort of in the middle of your ear. And audiologically, there's this thing that happens where sound comes in and it hits the eardrum. It goes to the back of the ear and then bounces back and hits the eardrum again for the second time. And there is actually almost immeasurable but significant enough time delay between that first hearing and that second hearing. And scientists say the way that athletes focus on the voice of their parent in the middle of a crowd is that they're able to allow some things to be heard once, but some things to be heard twice. And we're able to somehow process extra by allowing that parental voice to be heard twice. In other words, some things go in one ear and out the other, but some things resonate in us. Are you able to recognize your father's voice? Do you stop and do more than just hear it, but do you listen to him? Do you stop and listen twice? Because he whispers so that you will come in close to to soften your heart and to speak to you. So over and over again, Jesus says this, for anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. When Jesus says this, the Jewish ear would have heard hints of Psalm 40, verse 6, where the psalmist David says this. He says, "You have given me an open ear." Open ear. When you and I read this verse, we think of an ear that's open to hear. You know, it's open. It's like if I had just opened that door, it would be then open. But this word here, the original word for open, is actually an active verb. It's an archaeological verb. And what it really means is not just to have something standing open, but to actually excavate through dense material to find the treasure that is within. You have given me an open ear. In other words, you're digging through all of the other voices that scream for my attention, that dense material, to bring out the treasure that I really need to hear. Some of us really need to clean out some dense material from our ears to hear God. But don't we allow there to be dense material crowding him out? What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? You check your Facebook, right? You look at your phone, you watch the news updates, you listen to all the other voices, and you let so many other things begin to speak in your life before you even get out of bed in the morning. And then before you know it, you're at work, and then you got other people and other things speaking into you, not to mention the people that were speaking to you on the road as you were driving and everything, right? I mean, you allow so many other voices to close your ear to God. You have given me, God, an open ear. Excavate all of the dense other, and let me hear you. Some of the commentators really believe that as David is saying this, give me an open ear, he's actually giving a nod to an ancient Jewish ritual that had to do with slaves. Yeah, the Jewish people had slaves, but they weren't ethnic slaves, enslaved for life the way we think about slavery. Jewish slaves were other Jewish people who had chosen a life of slavery to pay off a debt, you know, or for whatever reason. They were enslaved. They were bond servants is what they were. And the law said that you can have a slave for up to 7 years, but then on the seventh year, you free that slave. But there's a provision. There's a provision that says, listen, if the freedom year comes, and your slave, your servant, does not want to go free because he loves his master so much that he wants to continue to serve him and his family, there's a provision for that. There's a ceremony that you go through to make that servant yours for life. And here's how it's described in Exodus 21. It says, if he does this, if he wants to serve, the master must present him before God. Then his master must take him to the door or doorpost. This is a public, visible doorpost, and publicly pierce his ear with an awl. After that, the slave will serve his master for life. God, you have given me an open ear. Maybe we need God to pierce our ears so that we can be his servant and he can be our master for life. Is your ear pierced for God? Have you chosen to listen and to obey him and no other? Or do all of the other competing voices demand your enslavement? So the first type of person is the person whose life is too loud. The second type of person is the person whose doubt is too high. My doubt is too high. Maybe you don't hear from God. I should be honest with you. Maybe some of us don't hear from God because we, frankly, don't want to hear from God. Maybe we're a little afraid of what God might actually tell us. And we're scared of where he might send us, where we might have to go, or what he might take from us. We're scared we might lose something if we listen to God. Rip Radcliffe was a very congenial older man who was at First Baptist Church of Orlando back in the day. He was a Sunday school teacher in the middle school Sunday school department. And everybody liked Rip Radcliffe. He was a slender, older man. He was always smiling and joking, and everybody just thought really highly of him. And in Rip Radcliffe's eighth grade Sunday school department, there was a quiet, shy, introverted, little adorable girl named Sherry Bennett, who you would never hear speak two words out loud. She was really, really quiet. You wouldn't believe that today, would you? She was really quiet till kids were born, then everything changed. So this quiet little girl, Rip was always trying to just draw her out a little bit, always joking with her, because he was always joking. So he would tell Sherry, he would say, "You know, Sherry, I believe God has a great plan for your life. And if you'll just listen to him, I believe one day God's going to call you to become a missionary in Zimbabwe." Now, how do you think an 8-year-old little shy, quiet girl would react to this? She would be like, no way. No way is that going to happen. Because how is any American eighth grader going to respond to that? Who wants to lose out on, you know, electricity and running water to do something for God? Right? Who wants to lose out on that? Right? So for a long time, Sherry was kind of scared of what God might actually tell her, because she was afraid she might actually lose something if she had to hear from and respond to God. Are we like that at all? See, I think we really seek to hear God's voice. We want to hear God's voice because we want to hear him give us his instructions for what's best in our lives. We want to follow his lead because he will give us the best. Our problem is we want to reserve the right to define best. And our version of God's will for our life, let's just be honest for a second. Our version of obeying God and following his will, you know, there's nowhere safer than the center of his will. Right? So we want to be safe and happy, everybody healthy. I mean, there's money flowing and I'm sipping Mai Tais on my yacht somewhere. That's my version of what God's best for my life is. But what if God's version of best is nothing like your version? What if God wants to bless your life by calling you to do something you don't want to do? Do you want to hear that from God? Okay, maybe he won't call you. Maybe he won't call you to be a missionary in Zimbabwe. But what if he does call you to give sacrificially? I mean, what if he does call you to actually do without something so that you can contribute in a tangible, financial way to his kingdom? Would that be worse and not best? Okay, maybe not that. What if God actually called you to lean in and to stick in that difficult marriage? What if he actually said, "My best for you is just on the other side of this mountain that you guys are on"? Would that potentially be worse, or would it really be best? Do you really want to hear from God, or is your doubt too high? I think when it comes down to it, frankly, I think for many of us, the reason that we don't hear from God is because we doubt him. We don't trust him. We don't believe that he's actually the good shepherd. Jesus is describing his sheep and himself as the shepherd. And here's what he says in John 10. You know this verse. He says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd." Leave this up here on the screen for just a minute. This is so amazing to me that we flip this script. See, sometimes we're scared to hear from God because we think that if we listen to him, he might just take something from us. He might just hurt us, and we might not get to be who we think we ought to be. We might not get to be the hero in our own story. But the reality is, the thief wants to steal God's best away from you. He wants to take you away from your heavenly Father, the good shepherd. And we doubt our good shepherd. And so what we do is we listen to the sound of the thief who comes to us in the sheep pen and says, hey, this sheep pen is too small for you. You deserve to be a much bigger sheep in a much bigger pen. If you'll just come with me, I'll give you everything your heart desires. I'll give you everything you deserve. You know, I'll make sure you have all the things. If you'll just come with me, sheep, if you'll just come with me, I will love you and I will pet you and I will feed you. I will take such better care of you than the shepherd. So just come with me instead of him. Just come on. Here, sheepy. Come on here. Here, sheepy. And we just don't we? And we just follow the thief, and we don't trust the good shepherd. We don't believe that his purpose is to give us a richer and satisfying life. That maybe there is something way, way better than that bigger house or that nicer car. Maybe there is something more deep and powerful than this difficulty in my marriage right now, or in holding my tongue and not getting the last word in. You know, maybe there is something more. Do we trust that he's the good shepherd, or do we follow the thief? Jesus says a little bit later, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. They know me just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. What? Yeah. His desire for us is that we would know him as in a father-son relationship. Not a one out of 168 relationship, but a father-son relationship. That's how well the sheep should know Jesus. He says, so I sacrifice everything for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. I think he's talking about us there. We're the other sheep in the other flock, and he wants to be our good shepherd. So is your doubt high? Or do you actually trust that God has something much bigger, much better for you? You know, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to trust in the voice of God. It's hard when you're a big city boy and God sends you out into the rural mountains of North Georgia and says, I want you to do something for me. It's hard to trust God. Let me put it in terms maybe you'll understand. I want you to walk away from all of your sources of income, and I want you to get away from your family and everything you know and are comfortable with. And I want you to go on some cross-cultural stuff. I want you to go where people don't speak the same language you speak. I want you to go to this foreign land, and I want you to obey me. Lay it on the line and obey me. And I can remember, and I've told this story before, I can remember driving around this community and looking at church after church after church after church, most of them failing, dying, withering. And I remember praying and saying, God, I must be misunderstanding this. Why would you want another church here? There's already 200 of them. Half of them aren't working. Why would you want another church here? But stepping out in obedience. And I'm here to tell you, no regrets. I'm so grateful to move in that obedience. Will you trust him? Or will you continue to doubt? The third person is the person who longs for something else. I long for something else. I'm just gonna get right to this because I'm running out of time. Let me just go right to Psalm 37:4 and just kind of hit this, just kind of ring this bell. We love this verse, right? The psalmist says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Oh, we love that. God will give me my heart's desires. I love the way Rod Combs says this. Rod Combs is one of our deacons, a small group leader. And he says, we love the second half of that verse, but we forget the first half. See, here's what happens. We We long for other things, and we think that maybe if we can hear from God, He will give us our heart's desires, whatever that looks like in our lives. Whether it's fame or fortune or family or relationships or whatever it is, God, give me my heart's desires. That's the verbal vomit prayer, right? But the psalmist says, wait a minute, take delight in the Lord. If your heart's delight is the Lord, then He will give you your heart's desire. See, this weird thing happens when you actually surrender your heart. I mean, really, don't just pray some simple little prayer, but when you really surrender your heart to God, and when your heart is becoming more and more and more His, when you're in this sanctification process where He's making you into His image, this weird thing happens as you more and more delight in the Lord. Your heart's desires begin to line right up with His heart's desires. The things that you want become more and more the things that He already wants for you. And the more you take delight in the Lord, the more His voice rings in your ears. The more His desires really flow into and through your life. And you don't want those other old, broken, down, temporary things anymore. You begin to want Him more than anything. His voice becomes louder and louder in your life. Even though it's still just a whisper, you can hear Him more and more clearly and step more and more in His path of abundance and peace and power and of overcoming in your life. So take delight in the Lord. This is why Jesus says in Mark 4, He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, let him listen and understand. So which type are you? Which of these three types are you? I know for me, the reason for this sermon today is I'm kind of all of those. At one time or another, I'm kind of a little bit of all of them. And these things, they serve to keep me from listening to Him. But I pray that my desire is the psalmist's desire. Psalm 42, he says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? That's the Philip Putnam verse right there. As the deer longs for streams of water, right? Am I right, brother? Isn't that who you want to be? That's who I want to be. I want to long for Him. Right? Jesus says in John 5, He says, I assure you that the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God. And those who listen will no longer be dead, they will live. So you can choose. You can choose to let the voice of God roll past your stirrup and hammer and anvil and let it go in one ear and out the other, or you can listen twice. You can focus in. You can listen. And it's through listening to Him, it's through responding to His call and listening to His voice that you move from death to life and experience His real presence and power. My hope for you is that you will, last blank, be still and listen. Pray that prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.